It's nice to see you. Hi, how do you do? Sure, I'm glad you came out tonight. It's nice to see you. Hi, how do you do? I love that walking, and I love that talking, and I love that sparkle in your eye. If it ain't burning, this love ain't certain. There's a fire lit that exists until they finally pull my curtains, buddy. If this ain't working, please don't misinterpret. We're not perfect, but neither is focusing without a purpose. Trust me, we're not all worth it, such is life. But where's mine? Stay a while, sincerely. It's nice to see you.
Hello, and welcome to Texas Cannabis Report, your eyes and ears for cannabis news from across the Lone Star State. I'm your host, Stephen Carter. You can find us on our website at texcann.com, that's TXCANN.com. You can also find us on our social media at Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and now Pinterest as well. Great thanks to my lovely fiance for getting that set up and running, and we're looking for good things from there. I want to thank everyone for the great success that you've helped us achieve. We've just reached a 250,000 visits on our website since launching last June, and of course our first podcast episode was very well received as well, with about 800 individual downloads so far. So thanks to everyone for supporting us and believing in us. Want to jump right into our Texas news. There was apparently a Lufkin woman who got a bad bag of weed from her dealer. So what did she do? She called the police to complain about it. Evelyn Louise Hamilton, 37, of Lufkin, she wasn't very happy with the bud she received and demanded a refund. And when her dealer refused, she called 911 and told an operator about the incident. So the police, of course, showed up and they found her and talked to her. And then they asked her, well, do you have any weed on you? And for some reason, she said yes, so, of course, they busted her. She's been arrested and was put in jail with a bond of $500 for simple possession. So, pro tip out there for anyone who gets a bad bag of weed, don't call the cops. That's a bad idea. moving right along to our next story, a Texas school board member was caught with 1,200 pounds of pot. I guess if you're on the local school board, you got all the great hookups. A Progreso school board member was arrested by state troopers who found over 1,200 pounds of marijuana in his vehicle. What he was doing with that much weed in his vehicle, I don't know. Anyways, 31-year-old Felix Hernandez was arrested earlier last month and charged with possession between 50 and 2,000 pounds of marijuana. Said a traffic violation prompted a trooper in Hidalgo County to pull Hernandez over, though it was unclear what led to the search of the vehicle. So I'm sure that he's no longer on the school board. We haven't got an update on that story, but whenever we do get one, I will let you know about it. Moving right along to our next story, no good deed goes unpunished. You know, a lot of people are going up and visiting in Colorado and Washington since they've legalized there. A lot of people are having a really good time, and one of the main draws for people to go there is legalization of cannabis. Well, a Texas man who gone up there for a snowboarding trip to Colorado and stayed at the Hyatt Place in Denver. He had purchased a few grams while he was there, and he didn't finish it, so he decided that it wasn't a good idea to try to bring it back to Texas. You know, trafficking through an airport is probably not the best of ideas. So he decided to leave it in his hotel room and just let the maid have it. You know, kind of like a goodwill thing, pay it forward, something like that. Anyways, whenever he got back, he found a charge on his bank account for smoking in the room. So he called them up, and they basically told him that the room reeked of cannabis and that it was unusable and that they had to let it air out and clean it up and stuff like that, and that's what the fee was for. Well, whenever he originally got there, he looked around the room and he had contemplated smoking in the room. But after finding that the window wouldn't open, he decided it would be best to smoke it somewhere else. So he didn't consume any cannabis in the hotel room. So it's not possible for him to have to pay these charges to have it cleaned. Well, he ended up taking his rant to Twitter, where he got the attention of the concierge service of the hotel, who contacted him and ended up setting things straight. They ended up getting rid of the fee, and he wasn't required to pay anything. But, you know, it's not necessarily a good idea to leave weed, you know, lying around in a hotel room. You know, just really asking for trouble. I understand what he was trying to do, and kudos to him for thinking of others. But sometimes you just got to be aware of the unintended consequences of your actions. Moving right along, earlier in April, Normal Waco held an all-women's panel to discuss the legalization of cannabis here in Texas, and basically invited four women to discuss their personal and political stories concerning their involvement in the cannabis movement. Among those participating was Elizabeth Hill Rodriguez, Sheena Marie Roberts, Nishi Whiteley, and Carly Duran. And of course, Carly Duran is the executive director of San Antonio Normal. They gave a great panel discussion. I wish I could have been there to see it, but we had Alan Carruthers there, and he did a great job covering it and gave a very, very detailed article about what all was talked about, and great job to him and these women as well, and much thanks to them for their involvement in the cannabis activist community. You should definitely go check out that article on our website, and it will be in our show notes. Moving right along, we had a Round Rock man get busted for selling weed brownies out of his apartment. Basically, he was selling brownies or cookies for $25 a piece, and all you had to do was go up to his apartment door and give him the money, and he'd give it to you right there. While he probably had a pretty good business going on, it's probably not a good idea to have that much traffic going in and out of your apartment like that. Of course, the woman next door had no clue what was going on. She acted completely shocked whenever she found out. So it must not have been that bad if this is the first time she's heard of it and he's doing all this business. I know we're all waiting for legalization to hit Texas, and so we can have our edibles and whatnot. It's going to be a great time, and we're all looking forward to it. So hopefully this guy doesn't get in too much trouble for it. Apparently there was a guy who recently was sentenced to 5 years to life for selling pot brownies. Basically, what they did is, instead of just measuring how much weed that he had used in the brownies, they measured everything, which completely jacked up his sentencing and made it a first-degree felony. So our laws are just egregious in this state, and if we can't get legalization, at the very least, we need to decrease the penalties for our laws. It's insane what we're doing to people here. Got some very, very positive news, though. This came from Texas Normal. Apparently a woman studying to be a rehabilitation counselor did a complete turnaround on her cannabis views after attending one of their meetings and having to complete a research project for her class. Texas Normal recently boasted of a success story on their Facebook page about a woman who now counts herself as a new supporter of the movement after doing a little research and attending some meetings and talking with activists there. The woman, whose name is Vicky, is studying for her master's degree. As part of an assignment, she was to choose a cultural identity or lifestyle that she didn't know much about or did not agree with. She then had to inform herself about it by attending an event, watching a documentary, reading an autobiography or nonfiction work, or do research regarding the culture, its traditions, and values. Afterwards, she had to answer 5 questions about her experience. She ended up choosing cannabis culture and told the people at Texas Normal, "I chose to do research on the use of cannabis. I researched the use of cannabis on the internet, watched several documentaries, read a book called Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids, a review of the scientific literature 2000-2010, and attended several meetings with a group called Texas Normal and spoke with several people within the organization." Her initial perspective on people associated with cannabis was, you know, pretty typical. She didn't think too highly of people who smoked weed. She claimed, "Prior to my activities, my perspective on the use of cannabis was the mental picture of hippies sharing a pipe, living in vans and happy to be where they were, or a young man sitting on the couch playing video games with no ambition to work or provide for his family. These stereotypes perspectives were from media coverage I've seen all my life and from a personal perspective of experience with a family member, feeling sadness and anxiety about their future or the lack thereof because of their use of marijuana." The assignment then asked her to explain, based on her experience or information gained, what she learned about the chosen culture. She said that, I learned that cannabis is a plant used for medicinal purposes for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. I learned that educated, highly educated, law-abiding, except for, I guess, this citizen, use cannabis to help them with symptoms of many kinds of illnesses. I learned that they go to school, work full-time, respectable jobs, and provide for their families. I learned that they are compassionate, caring individuals who are very passionate about what they believe in. I learned that they are not potheads who want to get high, but they are well-behaved people who actually do have a grasp on reality and are trying hard to be a voice of reason and stand up against the stigma associated with cannabis. She further went on to state, "I learned that the majority, if not all, of that stigma that comes with the mention of cannabis is political." She learned that because there are individuals who are not afraid to step outside of the accepted lines of society, we now know the great many benefits of the use of cannabis. I learned that it was actually used in America as a medicine until the early 1900s and was banned in the 1930s against the advice of the American Medical Association. She was then asked to explain how this impacted her previous perspective. The change was pretty drastic. Vicky stated, "My experience has made me a freak of nature, so to speak. I do not look, act, promote, nor am I a pothead, a term so easily used when referring to someone who uses marijuana. I'm not even a user of what I believe should be legal for adults to use if they so choose. I'm a person that will slam the brakes on at a yellow light for fear of getting a ticket. However, do not doubt I would stand up to any and everyone necessary to say on behalf of my dear Vietnam veteran husband, who suffers from chronic pain and PTSD, take your morphine and give my husband marijuana and let him live and live in peace. Oh, and while you're at it, let me live in peace. My experience has opened my eyes to what I hope will become legal in this state, and I will do my part to help make it happen. I care much more about the health of my husband than what society thinks of me endorsing the use of marijuana. Synthetic medicine kills people. It makes them sicker and causes them to take other medications to counteract the side effects of the medicine they take for something else. It is a never-ending cycle, and it's time many someone, stand up and say, enough is enough. At least let me choose what I want to put into my body to help me, a plant that grows in the ground or chemicals put together in a capsule inside a lab." Finally, the assignment asked her how her experience will help better serve her clients who identify with that cultural identity. She said, "I no longer have a preconceived idea about the use of cannabis and cannabinoids. I see people as people, not potheads. When I choose a group of people and I attach a label to them, I'm giving permission to the rest of the world to label me. Myself, I trust what comes from the earth more than what I trust comes from humans. You know, activists are making progress in Texas every day. And, you know, this is just one of many examples of the positive influence the actions of people in the cannabis movement are generating. So if you're out there working in the trenches, I salute you and want you to keep going forward, keep moving forward. Talk to as many people as you can. Anytime you see a new face at an event, go up and talk to them. Introduce yourself. We want newcomers to see that, you know, we're just regular people and that we're here to help others and to make society a better place. Our next story involves Willie Nelson's daughter, Paula Nelson, who was busted for possession of marijuana on, of all days, 420. Fort Worth Weekly originally reported that Nelson posted a picture of her being arrested on her Facebook page. She is quoted as saying, "Let's just say I'm writing a new song called Spread 'em, Squat, and Cough." The arrest was made by Menard County deputies, and Sheriff Buck Miller was quoted as stating, "A traffic stop was executed and drugs were found." Nelson was ended up charged with misdemeanor possession of marijuana under 2 ounces and is currently out on bond. And since being bonded out, she has started to publicly advocate for the legalization of cannabis. Of course, we know her family's history of cannabis support, so that's no surprise there. Possession of less than 2 ounces of marijuana in Texas is a Class B misdemeanor, by the way, punishable by up to 180 days in jail and a $2,000 fine. Of course, this isn't the first time for an arrest for a marijuana possession arrest in the Nelson family. You know, Willie was arrested on 3 different occasions, the first time in Waco in 1994. I believe he was, wasn't actually Waco, it was Hewitt, which is a suburb of Waco. He was driving through Hewitt, and the cops knew who he was, so they wanted to mess with him. They found a roach in his ashtray, and, you know, he got busted for, real small amount of weed. He was arrested another time in St. Martin Parish, Louisiana in 2006, and again in Sierra Blanca, Texas in 2010. Interesting little side story to this is I wrote the article about her arrest on Texas Cannabis Report and used the picture off of Facebook of her being handcuffed with a big old grin on her face, and was actually contacted by a guy who claimed that he had taken the picture at the time that it was all happening and wanted me to pay him $50 to use the picture or face legal consequences. Well, you know, as you know, we're very low budget operation. In fact, we're no budget operation. So, of course, I couldn't afford to pay him $50 to use a picture that he took with his iPhone or whatever he used, some sort of cell phone. So I ended up having to take that picture down. If any of you are wondering where that picture went on the actual website, so it would have been nice if the guy could have helped out. You know, basically what amounts to a non-profit news organization here in Texas, but, you know, everyone feels like they got to get their cut, so more power to him to do with his picture as he wants. Moving right along, there is a vacant Texas Senate district seat up for a special election in the Houston area later this month. It's Senate District Seat 4. And there are 4 candidates running for the vacant spot. All 4 individuals were asked to give their stance on 2 subjects, casino gambling and whether or not marijuana should be legalized in Texas. They were asked by a local Houston paper. The responses were very, very disappointing. I know we talk a lot about cannabis on this show. It's what we're geared towards. But, you know, gambling and cannabis are, you know, they're kind of in the same pot together, you know. Neither one of them should be illegal. But as for these 4 candidates, people aren't going to get much of a choice in this election because they all are pretty much opposed to it. The 4 people running are Brandon Creighton, Gordy Bunch, Michael Galloway, and Steve Toth. Michael Galloway said that, "I am opposed to the legalization of casino gambling and marijuana in Texas. I believe the social cost far outweighs any perceived benefit." Creighton also said that he opposes both casino gambling and marijuana legalization, though he didn't expand on that. Toth did not respond at all, though chances are he's probably not supportive of it either. Bunch, on the other hand, while he opposed both, he took a little bit better stance than the others. He said, "I do not support casino gambling or legalized marijuana. As a decorated veteran of the U.S. Coast Guard, I served on the front lines to stop drug smugglers and human traffickers. Drug use and gambling can be linked to increased criminal activity, which Texas doesn't need to attract." Of course, I would respond that whenever you make gambling and cannabis illegal, of course it's going to attract criminal activity. These are things that people want and want to do, and it's not harming anyone. So by making these things illegal, we're essentially bringing harm into the equation and running and getting money to these drug cartels and other illegal organizations who end up causing a lot of unnecessary problems. Anyways, to continue, he says, "I would support lessening the criminal level of marijuana crimes to mitigate the strain on Texas prisons and work toward a rehabilitation strategy versus incarceration." Well, I guess being put in rehabilitation facility is a little bit better than being sent to jail. And of course, people don't need to go to either one, but given the choice, I'm sure people are going to take rehab any day. It's a small step in the right direction, so I guess we're hoping that he wins. Early voting began on April 28th, and election day for the race will be held on May 10th. Both Republican and Democrat registered voters can vote in the election, and anyone can vote as long as you're registered to vote. Now I want to play for you an interview that I got with Jamie Belagia at the Libertarian Party of Texas convention. As you might recall, I was a delegate to the convention and casted votes to help select the party's statewide candidates. Jamie Belagia is based out of Austin and, of course, has law offices in San Antonio as well. He's known as the DWI dude and the 420 dude. You might have seen his little mini car being driven around. Anyways, he won the Attorney General nomination for the Libertarian Party, and I was able to get an interview with him afterwards. And the Libertarian Party nominated quite a few pro-cannabis candidates, so it was very encouraging to see them elect such candidates. And whenever both Jamie and Rocky Palmquist, who was nominated for the Texas Agriculture Commissioner position, whenever they both made cannabis jokes during their nomination speeches, you know, it got a lot of good laughter and applause. So the Libertarian Party's always been a good friend of the cannabis movement. Anyways, here's the interview with Jamie. I'm here with Jamie Belagia. He just won the Libertarian Party nomination for Attorney General for Texas. How do you feel about your recent win?
Well, very honored and somewhat taken back initially, because it was being here live, you know, something I haven't done before, and seeing all the energy and the dedication of these people was really a great awakening for me and I thought about it, and I just really appreciate the fact that they put their confidence in me. I know it's going to be a tough uphill battle because of the two parties that be. I believe they're corrupt. I believe that they have boondoogled the public so long that it's going to be, we're going to need to wake and shake some people up to get the support we need to change things and bring liberty back to the forefront of what is needed in our state.
Well, you did have some strong applause and support in there whenever it was announced that you had won. So it was good to see the party unite behind you. You know, you've been a friend of the cannabis movement here in Texas for quite a while. I know that you've been pretty involved. How will you advance cannabis legalization with your campaign?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put it in the forefront of the campaign, and right behind it is going to be police accountability. And being a former police officer, 13 years as a patrol and vice undercover officer, I saw that most of the problems that were being associated with cannabis and other drugs as well was because of the enforcement, not because of what a plant that God created was doing to anybody. As a matter of fact, I can't tell you of a single death case, violence, or a family disturbance at all in those 13 years where someone smoking marijuana caused violence. Now, I encountered a lot of violence because of people being involved in the criminality of marijuana because of the law against it, you know, drug rip-offs and things like that.
It wasn't the problem, it was the law.
Exactly. When the law, you know, it's been stated so many times before, but when the law causes more problems and more damage to society, then the subject it's trying to control, we have a problem. The problem needs to be eradicated, and that's by killing the law and letting people act responsibly like grown-ups and do what they want, as long as they don't infringe on the rights of other people. That's what liberty is all about.
Mm-hmm. So what brought you to the Libertarian Party? I mean, you could have run for the nomination for the Democrat Party. You could have run for the Republican Party. What brought you to the Libertarian Party?
Well, I'm not bought and paid for. I'm not a slick politician. I'm going to tell you what I feel. And I think that's what resonated with this crowd is I just spoke from my heart, and I will do that, and I'll probably, between now and November, get myself in some troubled spots. But, you know, we'll muddle through it, and we'll take care of business, because I'm not here to become some portrait of what somebody else wants me to be. I do believe that the Democrat and the Republican parties have both failed the ideal of what Texas is supposed to be about, as well as America. But I think that most of the people that I know, and I meet people all over the place, I love meeting people, all races, all walks of life and lifestyles. Most of the people I meet, and when I talk to them and I start mentioning principles of the Libertarian Party, they're in agreement with me. I didn't know I was a Libertarian until I took the test, and I was, you know, like a 90-something percentile, and I said, geez, what's going on here? And then I thought about what the Republican and Democrat parties stand for and what they're doing to our communities, and they are a plague, and the plague needs to be stopped. Mm-hmm. And if people would just listen to what the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian message is about, I don't see how they can but come across to this party. And the issue of cannabis, now that the lies are being exposed, now that the government corruption is being exposed, I mean, just this week, the cooperation between the DEA and the cartels that was operating out of Chicago through Mexico, people are going to have to wake up and say, this is wrong, it has to stop.
They actually had agreements to let some drug cartels operate while they captured others, right?
Exactly. You know, somebody amasses a fortune of over $1 billion, and how many tons of cocaine are they flooding into the black and Hispanic and the middle class communities? People who can't afford drug treatment when they get hooked, or when they start committing crimes, or when they get busted for possession, and then they're putting them in prison, they're destroying their families. You know, somebody's locked up on a drug offense and he's not able to go to his parents' funeral or attend his daughter's graduation, marriages. People need to understand the boogeyman is not someone who's using a substance. The boogeyman is the government.
Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder, you know, how is this actually helping people by putting them behind bars or arresting them whenever they're consuming substances like this?
Well, Texas Normal made a great statement earlier today talking about the money that we spend in incarcerating individuals for possession of cannabis. That money could be earmarked to go into the schools to help educate our kids, teach our kids, let kids make educated decisions as they get older. And also, we can start regulating, taxing. We can start making sure that minors aren't exposed to harder drugs or to marijuana even until they become of legal age. The other issue there is, as long as we have marijuana illegal, you have to commit a crime to buy it. You have to associate, therefore, with criminals to get it. And criminals don't ID. Criminals don't make sure that underaged or juveniles or underage kids aren't getting a hold of marijuana and other drugs. Mm-hmm. So it's the right thing to do. Colorado set a standard. Washington State has set a standard. We need to follow it.
So we're right along that path behind them.
People are always saying, oh, Texas will be the last state to come across. I don't think that's true. And I think that we in Texas are, when they talk about the drug violence along the border, well, hey, let's stop it overnight. Mm. Let's legalize marijuana. Let's stop the profit. No business can survive when they're not making a profit, when they're actually losing money. And who's going to want to buy the cartel's drugs, the cartel's marijuana, when they can get it from the state and it's legal and you don't have to worry about any repercussions?
Mm-hmm. It's all simple economics. Would you say that there's a natural alliance between cannabis activists and the Libertarian Party whenever it comes to that subject?
That's the one thing that I really want to pursue, is waking up the sleeping nation of those people who've been living in fear of our government for so many years because they're scared of getting busted for pot, mm-hmm. to wake them up and get them to the polls. And the two choices there will be, either we'll win or we'll send such a strong message to the other two parties that they will understand that it is time to re-legalize cannabis.
So you're trying to make change any way you can.
That's right, yeah. And there's going to be a price to pay. I've talked to my wife about it and my family, and they support me, so that's all I need.
That's good to hear. I understand that you've just been confirmed for the DFW Normal's Marijuana March on May 3rd.
I'm excited to be there. I was at the Normal Regional Convention last year up in Fort Worth and just had a wonderful time, met some really intelligent and terrific people who are dedicated to the cause of freedom, to remove the noose from around people's throats on this issue. And everyone I've met from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're just great people. They're energetic. They aren't a bunch of couch potatoes laying around like you see in the comedies about someone who's involved with cannabis. These are people with businesses, people with energy, people with ideas, people who are active. And we need to get that message out there. I'm really thrilled to be invited and can't wait to be there.
It's good to see people busting those stereotypes. So we'll be looking forward to hearing you speak, and hopefully we'll see you at the conference again this year. It looks to be bigger and better.
That'd be great, too. Look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, partner.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. I wish Jamie the best of luck this November, and we'll be pulling for you. I'll definitely be voting for him. I want to move on now to some events, upcoming events. Today is actually May 2nd, which is Friday. Tomorrow is the big global marijuana march day here in Texas, and of course across the whole world. Every year rallies are held in both Austin and Fort Worth to protest cannabis laws and those who have been put in prison over them. I will be at the Fort Worth march being put on by DFW Normal, and of course Texas Normal will be putting on the march in Austin, where they'll march to the Capitol and hold a protest and a rally, and then of course after that they'll have an after party at the Flamingo Cantina. DFW Normal, on the other hand, will be holding sort of an all-day festival beginning at 12, and then they'll have their march around 4:20, where they'll march down to the courthouse and then back, and they'll have several speakers throughout the day. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be my first time at the Fort Worth March. The past several years I've attended the march in Austin put on by Texas Normal, and they've done a great job. So I'm sure whichever march you go to this year, it's going to be great. I just encourage you to go out to it. One thing that DFW Normal did different this year is they've actually accomplished a first. They raised $2,000 to erect a billboard on I-20 coming into Fort Worth in Dallas in an effort to to raise awareness about the upcoming event. So what normally amounts to, you know, anywhere between 300 and 400, 500, 600 people at this event, they're looking at maybe 1,000, maybe even 2,000 people turning out tomorrow. So here's hoping that it's a very, very successful event, and we'll be there to provide coverage of it. Other events this month include Beaumont Normal getting their board together, and so they're having a board assembly meeting tomorrow as well. Then, of course, Texas Normal will have their monthly meeting in Austin on May 7th. Houston Normal and Grow Your Own are presenting a hemp documentary called Bringing It Home on May 10th. That event may or may not be happening. We're still waiting on word on whether or not that will happen, but as far as we know, it's still scheduled to go on. Grow Your Own came out to Normal Waco's meeting 2 months ago and presented this this documentary about industrial hemp and the many uses of hemp, and it was a great hour-long documentary, totally worth watching. You know, people whose lives revolve around this movement can learn things from this documentary. So if you're out in the Houston area, I definitely encourage you to go check it out. Houston Normal's also having their monthly meeting on May 15th. El Paso Normal is having a meeting at the El Paso Comic Strip on May 18th. And then North Houston Normal is having a fun day in the park barbecue at Moffitt Park, which is the same park that they cleaned up last month and did such a great job on. So that's all the events that we have for this month right now. I'm sure there's going to be more going on. And if you are having a meeting or any sort of cannabis-related event happening in Texas, please let us know. You can email those events to us at texcan@gmail.com. Moving on to our science segment, University of Texas at Dallas has partnered with other universities to do a study on the effects of marijuana. The National Institute on Drug Abuse has awarded a $500,000 grant to fund the Imaging Data in Emerging Adults with Addiction Consortium, a large marijuana research data collection undertaking. UT Dallas's Center for Brain Health is partnering with Harvard University, the University of California, San Diego, and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee to gain a greater scientific understanding of marijuana and its effects. As part of the consortium, we will collect and pool brain imaging data from marijuana users and non-users, focusing on regions that control rational decisions and emotional responses, said Dr. Francesca Philby, who is the Director of Cognitive Neuroscience Research of Addicted Behaviors at the Center for Brain Health. She went on to state, "In healthy individuals, these highly interconnected regions maintain a balance. However, in individuals suffering from addiction, emotions and cravings can overturn reasoning and hijack decision-making." Well, so far, most studies funded by the NIDA have only focused on the negative effects of cannabis. Hopefully this shows some positive effects. So we're looking forward to the results of that study. Moving on to an article from Leaf Science. They're saying that scientists have discovered a gene for happiness and that it's related to marijuana. Scientists in Japan measured happiness levels among nearly 200 individuals and found those who carried a variation of the gene were happier on average and responded more positively to emotional cues. The gene that was identified encodes for the CB1 receptor, the pathway in the brain responsible for the marijuana high. The human cannabinoid receptor 1 genotypes are closely related to two aspects of happiness, wrote the researchers. The study was published this month in the open access journal Plus One. CB1 receptors are highly concentrated in the brain and act to alter appetite, pain, mood, and memory. According to the team, a polymorphism of the CB1 receptor gene may enhance the individual's response to cannabinoids, which are the chemicals that activate the pathways. Over 60 different cannabinoids have been identified in marijuana with THC usually present in the highest concentration. But the study didn't involve smoking marijuana, as it turns out the human body produces a number of cannabinoids on its own. Like THC, these natural compounds act on various regions of the brain related to happiness and seem to function as mood regulators. In fact, one of the first cannabinoids discovered in humans, Anyways, it takes its name from the Sanskrit word ananda, meaning bliss or delight. Interestingly, when the researchers scanned the brains of individuals with the variant gene, they observed higher levels of activity in areas that regulate positive feelings. Being more prone to the effects of cannabinoids and, in turn, positive emotions may explain why individuals with the polymorphism are generally happier. The researchers conclude that those with a variant CB1 gene likely have a high sensitivity to positive emotional events, and thus positive life events may be more abundant for these individuals. Touching real briefly on sports, the NCAA has ruled that marijuana is not a performance-enhancing drug and has reduced the penalties for its use. The organization announced last week that they no longer consider it to be a PED, and will lessen the suspension from a whole season to a half season if players test positive for it. This is good news for athletes who are using cannabis to help recover from injuries and the various physical stresses of sports. Rolling in with all of that is news on a Michigan player and a Clemson player. One of which is going to the NBA, the other to the NFL, and both are predicted as first-round draft picks. Mitch McGarry of Michigan revealed recently that he failed a drug test for cannabis, but it likely won't affect his draft status. An NBA Eastern Conference scout, speaking anonymously, stated that his drug test is unlikely to impact his NBA stock. He says, no, not really, because you know what? Probably 70% of the league does that. He's pretty much saying that 70% of NBA players consume cannabis. And, of course, that's probably nothing new to us. It's not surprising. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if most athletes in most sports consume cannabis. He went on to say that it's not like he's a kid with a bad attitude. If it was a kid that was malcontent and changed schools a lot, then it would be another issue. But I don't think this is that big of a deal for him. So we have a guy here who was busted for possession and openly, well, I don't know about openly, but pretty much admitted to being a cannabis consumer, and he's going to be a first-round draft pick in the NBA. And now couple this with Clemson wide receiver Sammy Watkins, who made the news in 2012 after a marijuana charge resulted in a 2-game suspension during a sophomore campaign with the Tigers. He's the top at the projected rankings at wide receiver in the 2014 NFL draft. So we've got two elite athletes here who are going to go very high up in their respective drafts, who have been consumers of cannabis and have both been caught with cannabis and arrested. So this just speaks volumes for why the plant should be legalized. Moving on to our music segment, you know, each podcast episode we feature a Texas band who is involved in the cannabis movement. This episode's featured band is called Loyal Sally, and we're going to be playing their song Clouds for you, which is off the DFW Normal Chronica CD. So much thanks to them for the song, and you can find a link to their CD and Loyal Sally's Reverb Nation page in our show notes.
I said my feet won't touch the ground, so lay your head down. Lay your head down. clouds, I lost you, baby. In the clouds, I lost you, baby. We all get lonesome here. We all get lonesome.
Moving into our national news segment, some grassroots political activists in Georgia say campaign cash from pharmaceutical companies swayed two state lawmakers responsible for killing a medical marijuana bill. Money is behind everything in politics, said political grassroots activist Chris Wall. He said you need to look no further than the contributions to State Senator Renee Utterman and State Representative Sharon Cooper. He and others accused the two lawmakers who chair the Health and Human Services Committee for killing the bill that would have granted immunity to parents of kids with severe seizure disorders who brought non-FDA-approved cannabis oil back from states where it's legal. Wall points out both women received campaign cash from pharmaceutical companies that have nothing to gain from natural treatments. Both women pushed for more clinical trials involving a drug called Epidiolex. Its manufacturer, GW Pharmaceuticals, recently partnered with Novartis on its medical marijuana drug. Geary found Big Pharmaceuticals gave more than $60,000 to Cooper over the past decade. Novartis was among them. Over 8 years, Unterman brought in $33,000 from drug companies, including Novartis. When you're getting contributions, consider contributions for years and years and years by companies who are clearly invested in not seeing this thing passed. It's worth a look, Wall told Geary. Of course, both lawmakers denied money influenced their decisions. You know, we've come to realize and almost accept that, you know, money plays a huge role in politics. And while it's always debatable how much influence it has, there's no doubt in my mind that there are pharmaceutical companies out there who are trying to squash medical marijuana advancements and legalization in order to keep their stranglehold on the medical side of the medicine industry. And of course, they're always looking to keep their patents. And of course, the federal government has a patent on cannabis. And with the way things are going here lately, we could very well see various pharmaceutical companies get patents on cannabis itself, making it to where they own the sole rights to grow and distribute it. Hopefully it doesn't go that way, though. In other news, retired Supreme Court Justice Stevens says pot should be legal. Retired Justice John Paul Stevens recently came out in support of legalizing marijuana in an interview with NPR. He was asked if the federal government should legalize marijuana. Yes, Stevens replied, I really think that's another instance of public opinion that's changed, and I recognize that the distinction between marijuana and alcoholic beverages is really not much of a distinction. Alcohol, the prohibition against selling and dispensing alcoholic beverages, has, I think, been generally, there's a general consensus that it was not worth the cost. and I really think in time that will be the general consensus with respect to this particular drug. Basically comparing alcohol prohibition to cannabis prohibition and saying that both of them are total failures and that people are going to look back on this and say, what were we thinking? You know, recent surveys peg support for legalization around 58%, with even more support for medical marijuana. Stevens was appointed to the Supreme Court by President Ford in 1975 and considers himself a conservative. He retired in 2010. This revealing of support is despite the fact that during 2005, Stevens was part of a majority ruling which held that under the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution, the United States Congress may criminalize the production and use of homegrown cannabis even where states approve its use for medical purposes. In 2006, Stevens decided in favor of allowing religious use of a Schedule I substance in Gonzales versus Ocentro Espirita Benefit. Anyways, he was also part of the majority which held the government's central argument that the Uniform Application of the Controlled Substances Act does not allow for exceptions for the substance in this case, as Native Americans are given exceptions to use peyote, another Schedule I substance. Of course, cannabis is currently classified as a Schedule I substance. So if people can get exceptions to use peyote, why can they not get exceptions to use cannabis for medical or religious purposes? This totally doesn't make any sense there. Back in 1990, though, Stevens was part of a ruling which held that the state could deny unemployment benefits to a person fired for violating a state prohibition on the use of peyote, even though the use of the drug was part of a religious ritual. And what was likely the largest cannabis-related case for Stevens, though, was United States versus Oakland Cannabis Buyers Cooperative in 2001. The opinion was basically unanimous in denying medical use of marijuana due to the Controlled Substances Act. Stevens was in concurrence with the ruling, and while this did not overturn state laws, it left the door open for federal prosecutors to harass patients and caregivers. While other factors have surely been at work, Stevens' brief judicial history with cannabis and the Supreme Court has not been kind to marijuana consumers. So while we really appreciate his support now, his actions in the past have definitely not been very helpful. Moving on to our final news article, 75% of Americans believe marijuana will be fully legalized. That's more people than those who think that it should be legal. So pretty much 3/4 of the entire U.S. population believe that it's coming, and I guarantee you they're right, too. Basically, a newly released Pew Research poll showed that 3/4 of Americans believe that it will be fully legal. Even those who oppose legalization say that at some point marijuana will be legal to consume and sell. According to the Pew Research Center, by wide margins, the public views marijuana as less harmful than alcohol, both to personal health and society more generally. This adds to the momentum of legalization activists who are now steadily seeing poll after poll showing a majority support for changing marijuana laws across the country. Furthermore, 76% of respondents say that people should not go to jail for possessing small amounts of cannabis. It was only 4 years ago that a majority opposed legalization at 52%, and now those opinions have reversed, with Pew showing 54% now in favor. Pew also found only 16% wanted to keep pot illegal in all instances. They concluded by stating, on a personal level, most Americans say that if the marijuana were legal, they would be bothered by people using the drug in public, though fewer would be bothered if a store or business selling marijuana opened in their neighborhood. That's 63% and 41% respectively. Just 15% would be bothered if people used marijuana in their own homes. Also found in their polling was 67% of Americans saying that the government should focus more on providing treatment for those who use illegal drugs such as heroin and cocaine. Just 26% think the government's focus should be on prosecuting users of such hard drugs. Conservative estimates put monthly cannabis users in the U.S. at around 19 million people. So imagine if cannabis prohibition was truly successful. We're talking about adding 19 million people to the criminal justice system. If that's not insanity, I don't know what is. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and end it. So thank you for listening. I'm Stephen Carter with Texas Cannabis Report. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.
If I said I told you so, let it roll. Under us, they fuck with us and bet for trust. This wonderlust was built for us, I mean all of us. Raise your head and raise your fist, put down your fucking Twitter pics. Use your mind, corrupt your tits and throw a brick the establishment. Yeah, follow me, let's make a change. I ain't trying to box it out there, I'm trying to box with your brain.
If I said I told you so, let it roll, let it roll, let it roll on down the road. If I said
sail, this time I pen my soul stash and notepads and cachet within. We the people are unequal. Information makes us lethal. What's the death before dishonor when your honor is deceitful? When the music stops, all we've got is our voice at the top of your lungs. Maple, feel the noise. Open your eyes to the lies brought to you by the government. Political puppets got a corporate hand in your ass and you're loving it.
If I said I told you so, let it roll, let it roll, let it roll.
If I